his goodwill. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Street.
Good morning.
It's great to see you out this morning. You survived the snow. Anybody come in with your sled this morning? It's the first time we've seen snow in a little while, so I know it's a little more difficult, but I'm glad you made it out. Today we have a very different kind of service planned for you, okay? Today we are studying through in one Sunday to help us understand the instruments that are talked about in the book of Psalms. And as we understand those instruments, why there are different instruments and what the goal is in having all of that. And so just looking forward to a really fun service. So you have permission to have fun in church today, okay? All right, because sometimes you wonder, you say, oh, do I have to come and be uptight? Or no, today you have permission to have fun in church, okay?
Ow!
All right. So immediately following the morning service today, we have a tailgating potluck. As Cheryl put this in the bulletin, I thought it was good. We might not agree on who we're cheering for, the Eagles or the Patriots, but we can all agree on a potluck. So you can stay after the service. Even if you didn't bring anything, I'm sure we'll have plenty of food. And just enjoy a time of fellowship together. And there will be no youth group tonight, so youth, keep that in mind. Also, we have a new Sunday school class that met today for the first time, and it's for the college age, college, career, okay? Anybody who feels like you fit that, that's fine, and well, within reason. But we had some good discussion this morning, and we're dealing with millennial discussions and understanding our culture as it relates to Christ culture. And we had a good time this morning, and I'd like to invite anybody who would fit that age group to come on out to that class. It meets in my office. The financial peace class did not start this morning, so I'm sorry to those of you who showed up for it. Joel is sick, and so he was not able to make it. But we will be starting that class up. We're going to wait. Joel asked now if we could wait till after Easter. He'd like to recruit a few more people to be part of it. So that class will be starting up. So if you didn't sign up but you'd like to be part of that class, sign up at the Welcome Center. There is a cost involved, but if the cost is a problem, then you can just talk to Joel or talk to myself, and that will be taken care of because we don't want anyone to miss that class because of the cost. And that class does start at 9 a.m. When it begins up again. Small groups start on February 25th. We are studying the apostles. We are studying them to see how God changed them because this is the year of the game changer, right? And so we're going to look at how God changed each of the apostles, but also what their personalities were. There are 12 different personality types in the apostles, and I believe every church has those 12 personality types in it. So how do we all get along? Well, let's learn from the apostles. They'll teach us. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for one of those small groups at the Welcome Center. I'm still looking for a couple more leaders and hosts for the small groups. So if you'd like to do that, make sure you let us know. Deacons, you have a meeting on February 21st. That's a reminder for you. On March 4th, we're going to have a pizza with the pastor. And this is for people that have been coming to church here for 6 months or less. And if you'd like to get to know me, my family, my wife, then it's so much better to get to know Rachel than it is to get to know me. But we'd like both like to get to know you a little bit, so we'd like to invite you. Please sign up at the Welcome Center so we know how much pizza to provide for that. And then on March 9th and 10th, we have a lot of good social things. So if you say, well, I don't really know anybody in the church, after the month of March, you have no excuses, okay? So sign up, be part of some of these things that are going on, and you will get to know some people. But March 9th and 10th, we're doing what's called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. So you'll pick March 9th or 10th, or if you don't care which one, then you can say either. And you can sign up as a host or a guest. The host has no clue who's coming over for dinner. We'll tell the guests where they're going a few days before and what side dish to bring. And so you don't know who else will be showing up at the house either. And so everybody shows up, and it's like, oh, and you meet each other. And if you already know each other, you can have a good laugh. If you don't know each other, you get to know each other. And it's a really great opportunity for you to get to know other people in the church. So please sign up for that. We have options for with children or without children. So either way, we would love for everybody in the church to be signed up and be part of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And then our committees will be meeting March 18th, except for the Education Committee. They will be meeting March 25th. And then our annual Mother-Daughter Friends Tea is on May 5th, and they're looking for some hosts to host tables. And so, ladies, if you'd like to host a table, you can sign up there. Okay, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we have a lot going on here at 12th Street. I thank you for the Awana program, for the children that are learning the verses and memorizing your word, hiding it in their heart so that they might not sin against you. I thank you for Upward, where we are able to share the gospel. I thank you for Jack's presentation of the gospel yesterday to all that were there. And Lord, I just pray that you would use that and help those who heard it, who have never trusted Christ, to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we meet here this morning, I am full of expectation that we can be educated and motivated in our praise to you. Because, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. There will be 40% of this country will tune into a football game tonight. And fans will cheer for teams. And fans will cheer for a singer at halftime. But, Lord, we have the most worthy cause, the most notable person to praise. And so I ask, Lord, that as we lift up our song to you, as we lift up our hearts to you, as we take in what your word says this morning, that we, above everyone else on this planet, would show that we have the most to be thankful for and grateful for. So to you, Lord, be all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. And if the deacons could start making their way forward for communion. All right, if everyone could find their seats. If you all could find your seats. I'd like to read to you, before we take communion, from Luke chapter 22. In Luke 22, verse 19, it says this: "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" I don't know if you've ever heard the word Eucharist or the word host used towards communion. And I just want to tell you this morning that those words are inappropriate for what we're doing here this morning. What we are doing is we are not actually taking the blood and body of Christ. What Christ said a little bit earlier in this passage is he told them that they needed to take the bread and divide it among themselves. And they passed the cup to each other. What they were doing is this was a symbol of his body. When he says, "Take, eat, this is my body," he was saying, the bread is the symbol of my body. See, when we take communion, we don't receive salvation. It would be an easy way to do it, right? Just eat something, drink something, and you receive salvation. That's not what Jesus is telling them or us. He says to take drink, because his blood was shed for them, he was letting them know that they weren't drinking his blood, but they were drinking a remembrance, something to help them to think about his blood that was shed. And so as we take communion this morning, we are remembering the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. And the fact that when he died, he shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sins. And as we take this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to just pass it by. It's not for those who have never trusted Jesus. And what you should do instead is right now, in this quietness of the moments that we'll have in front of us, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross for your sin. He died so that you could be forgiven. He was punished for sin that he never committed, so you could be forgiven for the sin that you have committed. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ, take a few moments and just talk to your Lord. Make sure that there's no sin that's left unconfessed. And as you spend some time in communion with God this morning, thank him for what he's done for you in dying on the cross and shedding his blood for your sin. Caleb, could you ask a blessing on the bread? You know, when we take communion, we don't offer pizza. It's unleavened bread. It's unleavened because Jesus said to take the bread that had no leaven in it as a sign of his sinless life. And he took the bread and he said, when he broke it, he said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." Then just like he gave bread that had no leaven to his disciples because it was the Passover, the juice, he called it the fruit of the vine, would have had no leaven in it either. It would not have had any thing in the juice that would have fermented it, because the whole celebration of the Passover was to show the purity of the sacrifice of Jesus. And so in his blood, without any sin, he offered it for us. Don, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine?
Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Thank you for this time that we can all come together to take communion. Ask you to bless this vine, the fruit of the vine, Lord, that recognizes our sin and how Jesus shed his blood for us. Oh, what kind of love that takes. Be with us as we take this element. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Let's stand together and let's sing a song about the amazing sacrifice of our Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed. Mercy reigns.
Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Father, we just ask that you'll just be with Pastor Thad as he brings forth the message. Father, may we take up this offering and use it for your ministry, Lord, to win others unto you. And Father, we just ask that you'd just be with each gift and each giver this morning. We pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you.
You know what Nate just did is actually a description of one of the Psalms. In Psalm 46, it says, to the chief musicians, to the sons of Korah, upon Elmanoth. All right? And it just throws that Hebrew word in there in the English, and it's like, what in the world? Elmanoth means falsetto soprano. It was written for the sons of Korah, his sons, to sing those ranges that I can never hit. And Nate, that was really good. Very good. Thank you. All right, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out to children's church, a lady dropped her purse as they were taking up the offering, and a remote control for a TV fell out. And the usher said, "Ma'am, you can't use that during the service." And she said, "Oh, I know." She said, "My husband refused to come to church with me this morning, and this was the most cruel way I could get back at him without doing something illegal." Now, this morning, this is designed to be an interactive message, okay? I'm not just going to preach to you this morning, although I am still going to preach, but this morning, it's going to be more than that, because in order for us to understand how God wants to be praised, this morning, it's not about worship, okay? We'll talk about worship next Sunday. This morning, it's about praise. God gave us a songbook called the Psalms. It is the longest book in the Bible. 150 Psalms are given to us with a whole bunch of descriptions and ways that God likes to be praised. And so this morning, our goal is to understand, first of all, because if we don't understand, doing without knowledge is chaos. So that we can understand what God likes, what he put on the hearts of the people, and what he put in his scripture. And then we're going to bring it all together at the end and celebrate together our Lord, right? The reason that we have praise is because God is worthy of praise. And this morning, though, I'm more focusing in on what is praise. So there were psalms that were written with a specific instrument in mind. And one of those psalms is Psalm 5. And it says this: "To the chief musician upon Nehelath." That Hebrew word Nehelath means flute. To the chief musician upon a flute. "A psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Now, that psalm's a little different from some of the ones that we will hear. That psalm was meant to be reflected like that, with the beautiful sound of the flute, the wind instrument. In Psalm 33, in verse 2, it says, "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings." Now, I don't know today, we don't have an equivalent of 10-string instrument. But what we do have today is our instruments that have strings. And the psaltery, I have a picture of a psaltery to put up there. That's what they think the psaltery looked like. What does that look like a little bit? A violin, right? With the bow and with the strings. It's got a lot more strings than a violin. But in Psalm 55:1, it says this: "To the chief musician on Neginoth." Neginoth means stringed instrument. Michelle, it's a teaching poem. That's what that word, Michelle, if you ever see it in the scriptures and psalms, you'll see it a whole bunch of times. That Hebrew word means It's a teaching poem. A Psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. In the verses that follow, he says this is a psalm of complaints. He's complaining to God. But yet he gives us the mood for the song. It's supposed to be played on strings. And he says in verse 6 in Psalm 55, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Can you hear the flying away like a dove, looking for rest in that? In Psalm 68 and verse 25, it says, the singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Now, a timbrel, it's a round instrument with an animal skin stretched across, and it was a percussion instrument, but also it had little cymbals that were around the edge of it. We call it, instead of a timbrel today, we would call it a tambourine, but the timbrel didn't always have the cymbals around it. It was a percussion-type instrument. And the timbrel, in Psalm 68, it was used as a supporting percussion. So can you see the singers up front, the musicians behind, and then the ladies that have the supporting sound with the providing that rhythm as they marched? In Psalm 81 and verse 1, it says, to the chief musician upon Gittith. Now, a Gittith is a harp, or again, it's a stringed instrument. This is a handheld stringed instrument. It's a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. So here we have more stringed instruments being talked about. And the pleasant harp is referring to a sweet sound with melodious strings. I just see here, the beauty of the sweet strings providing an atmosphere for the words of the song. In Job chapter 21, verse 12, it says, they take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. And in Psalm 150 and verse 4, it says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Now, the original organ was it was a pipe where air was blown through the pipe, and they had different sized pipes to provide different tones for the sound. And we have an instrument today that mimics the sound of the organ.
Thank you.
And then in Psalm 150, let's stand together, and we're going to do a responsive reading. You read what's in blue, and I will read the other. And as we read this together, you don't have Psalm 150? Okay, well, if you have, well, go ahead and take a seat, I guess. I'm sorry. So Psalm 150, verse 3, I guess I'll just read it. And if you have it there in your Bible, though, look it up, and I'll read the whole thing. Psalm 153, verse 3 says, "Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Say it with me. Praise ye the Lord. There's lots of different ways to praise the Lord, isn't there? You can praise the Lord and with some quiet, and you can praise the Lord with some loud. And you know what the Lord says with all of it? Praise him. Lots of different ways to do it. And when we praise him, we please him. If we never praise him, could you imagine going to your child's sporting event and they score a basket or a goal or hit a home run or do something noteworthy, and everybody just sat there and and you just sat there and your child will be a little bit upset with you, right? Or at least they'd be asking, "Didn't you see it? Were you on your phone?" Right? That, because praise is something that is natural. We praise so many things in this life, and God is the one that is truly worthy. And there are so many different ways that God put in his word where we should praise him. In Psalm 149, in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints." We're supposed to sing together. Verse 2, "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp." Now, these are two different passages that we've read, praise him with the dance. In Psalm 149, it says, "Let them praise him in the dance." That's a, it's a permissive. In Psalm 150, it's a command. Praise him in the dance. Now, every single one of us here has danced before. Oh, some of you are going, "No, I'm a good Baptist. I've never danced." Oh, you don't even understand it. See, dancing is not the swaying of the hips and the gyrations. It's not, what do they call it, twerking, okay? That is not the dancing of the Bible. Dancing in the Bible is something that is so much more natural, pure, and awesome. The Greek, the Hebrew word for dance is mokel. And that Hebrew word, every time it's used in Scripture, it's translated dance. Some of you are going to go look this up in a commentary, and you're going to go, "This commentary says it can mean flute." No, it's never translated flute. You know who did that? A guy who thought dancing was evil, and so he didn't want dance to be in the Bible. He tried to remove it. Okay, that word is translated dance. What does that word mean? It means to leap or move with measured steps, to move nimbly around as up and down, backward and forward, to leap or frisk about. A leaping or stepping with motions of the body adjusted to a measure of a tune. Whirling wildly about, a circle dance, leaping, jumping for joy. Dance is first mentioned in the Bible in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. Some of you, I hope, just read that either yesterday or today in your Bible reading as you're reading through the Bible in 1 year. They crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army swallowed by the waters. They get to the other side. They see that their enemy that was chasing them is now dead. And they begin to sing to God and to rejoice. And then Miriam pulls out her timbrel. Kind of like what Cindy was playing with the tambourine. And the ladies all started to play their tambourines, to sing and to dance. And they did what is called their dances. It's a plural form of that word, makola. It meant a dance company. So at some point, they kind of had a choreographed way of movement. And so the ladies did that after they crossed the Red Sea because they saw the great deliverance of God. Dance is a celebration to God. When I speak at camps, it's fun. Because sometimes when I speak at camps, when they're doing the praise time, the kids will go up to the front. All of them, they'll get out of their seats, and they'll all just start jumping with the music. And you know what that truly is? Biblical dance. It's an expression of praise. See, we praise God with our mouths, we praise Him with instruments, and we praise Him with our bodies. The English word rejoice, it has six different Hebrew words that in the English, we just get one word, rejoice. And it's kind of a disservice to that, to those different six Hebrew words. Because one of the words that's translated rejoice is gehil gul. Gehil gul. It means when you translate it rejoice, it's fine. It's no problem translating it rejoice. But what it means is to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion. So there's a psalm, or actually in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 31, as they're praising God with the celebration of all the things that are the Ark of the Covenant and the restoration of Jerusalem and all of the things that are taking place there. It says, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. I'm on the wrong verse. 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Gehil gul. Let the earth spin around under a violent emotion. Isn't that what the world does? It spins around. Why does the world spin? I'll tell you why. To the glory of God. To the praise of God. And then in Psalm 32:11 it says, be glad in the Lord and gehil gul. Rejoice, you righteous, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. I'm sorry, that was the end of 1 Chronicles 16:31. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And then in Psalm 149:2, it says, let Israel rejoice. Now that rejoice is a different Hebrew word. That rejoice is to cheer up. Okay, cheer up. In him that made him, let the children of Zion be joyful, gehil gul, in their king. So rejoice, cheer up, and spin around under violent emotion because you have a king who saved you. Now there's one more Hebrew word that's translated rejoice that I want to talk about, and it's alatz. Alatz. It means to jump for joy, to triumph. When someone triumphs over another, what do? They jump over them. If it's on the score, if it's a game, the scoreboard, they have the higher score. If it's a boxing match, they knock them out, they jump over them. If it's a race, they run past them, okay? That's part of the idea of this word, alatz. And in 1 Chronicles 16:32, it says, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice. Let the fields jump for joy. Well, how do fields, you know, you got the grain in the field. How does that jump for joy? You know how it jumps for joy? It bends in the wind, and then it pops back up, and it sways. And that's exactly what that word rejoice deals with. And so in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 2, the psalmist said, I will be glad and rejoice a lot. To jump for joy in you, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So to jump in Psalm 68:3, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice. That's a lot. That's jump for joy before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. That means to be, it's a different word, to be cheered up. So, biblical dancing is jumping, leaping, swaying with the arms up in the air as you reflect both on the lyrics and the music. Now, do you jump up and down with a, you know, a song written in a minor chord? No. You praise God differently. We've so reacted to the world and how the world celebrates life that we've lost part of the joy of celebrating God. Biblical dancing is that leaping and jumping. You don't have to do anything right now during this song, but I invite you to put these passages that we've talked about into some practice right now. And I invite you to stand up with me. And this morning, let's praise the Lord together with a new song.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live.
right, you may be seated. Now, do we really believe that Jesus Christ is the game changer? Do we really believe he's a game changer? Now, many years ago, there was a NBA championship series. The best player on the New York Knicks, his name was Willis Reed, and he got injured. And everybody thought that the season was done, that it was hopeless. And he had to go into the locker room. And he was there, and they thought now the Knicks are going to lose because they lost their best player. And Willis Reed came limping out of the tunnel. And when he came limping out of the tunnel, the garden there in New York went nuts. And they were screaming and cheering. They were still losing the game. But why were they screaming and cheering? Because their hope had just arrived. And they went on to win. Now, when we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, when we celebrate communion, we're talking about the game changer. The real game changer. The one who, when he came and changed the game, he changed life for all of us for eternity. It was his sacrifice that changes us. Today at halftime of the Super Bowl, Justin Timberlake is going to go out there to sing. And girls will fall over if he rushes his hand against their hand. And they'll be screaming and crying and cheering. For what? For nothing of substance. Who can remember who won the Super Bowl last year? Oh my goodness, nobody can remember. Okay, Don knew. Well, that's Don.
New England. It was one of the greatest comebacks in sports
history. Right, it was New England. So then who won the year before? No, not New England. Oh, did they win the year before? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Okay, here's my point. Millions of people in homes and bars and establishments all over this country will be cheering and screaming for a game that nobody will remember. Well, somebody will, but. And we have Jesus Christ. We have the most exciting thing to live for. Because Jesus changes life for all of your life. We were dead in sin, but Christ has made us alive in our spirit. We had nothing to live for except for ourselves. We had no hope for the future. We had no peace, and joy escaped us. But Christ saved us, and he gave us himself. So now we have something to live for. And we who are truly saved, we understand that we have so much more to live for in Christ than we ever had outside of Christ. We have hope, we have peace, and we have joy. And since he has changed the game for us, we should be excited for him. If you have no passion for Christ, if you have no drive, no desire for him, then you need to wake up this morning. Those who have salvation but no passion, it's like having knowledge and no action. And so, pray with me this prayer, Psalm 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David didn't pray, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. How many times have we heard that? He prayed to God and he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It was God's salvation that he gave to David. And David, in Psalm 51, he had just been confronted by a prophet telling him, David, you're an adulterer and a murderer. And David said, oh, you got me. And so how does he respond? He asks for God's forgiveness. And he says, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And that's what we need today. Collectively as a church, as a nation, we should not ever be intimidated by people who don't want us to talk about Christ. Their abuse of Christ, their antagonism toward Christ, it's nothing compared to the joy that we have in Christ. Their hatred for Christ should not trump the passion that we have for our love for Christ. And so, Lord, this morning we pray, restore unto us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your free spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close the service this morning with one of my favorite songs, Jesus Paid It All, because it's got a little bit of reflection in it and it's got some praise in it. Let's stand together and let's sing this out to the Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
A minute, go ahead and take a seat. We're going to show you one more little illustration of dance. And this is Lauren Roberts. She's at a liturgical dance conference this weekend. So kind of bummed she missed out on this. But there's actually a really good example for us to see here.
Today is a new day. It will bring brand new blessings and brand new battles. But within every uncertainty, there is hidden possibility. So I don't dread any challenge that lies ahead, because I remember all the victories behind. And my confidence is not in my circumstance. The Spirit of God is my supply. I'm steady under pressure, and I'm ready for whatever, because whatever comes my way today, the outcome is I overcome. Christ is in me. I am enough. I can handle it. I can't afford to stay afraid or let my faith hesitate. My purpose is at stake. And he who called me is faithful. His strength in me is greater than any pain I feel or enemy I face. The promise of God is mine for the taking. Every plan he has made is guaranteed to come to pass. It will happen. If I don't back down, if I won't let go, it will happen. If I don't stop short, if I won't sell out, it will happen by faith. But faith doesn't take the fear away. It teaches me to fight it. So bring the battle.
The leaping, and isn't that God loves it? So go home and dance with the Lord. But before you do, stay for dinner. So I'm going to pray for the food. Here's how we're going to work our dinner. If you are a senior citizen, you get the right side of the line. If you're a senior citizen, you get the right side of the line, and everybody else will get the left side. We love our seniors, and we want them to be able to get through line without getting pushed by the younger folks. So senior citizens on the right side. Everybody else on the left side, Lord, thank you for the food that you've provided. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for this morning that we could study what it means to praise you. And Lord, I thank you for all the different expressions. And I thank you, Lord, you don't require us all to jump, because some don't have the knees to do so anymore. But Lord, you do want our praise. So Lord, with our mouths, with our instruments, with ourselves, we offer up praise to you. The only God who can save, the one and only who can help in this life, and the only one who can bring healing to all lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, the awesome, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful dinner.